Okay, here you go. Talking bollocks.
The return of Folk in Focus.
We've a bone to pick with Eliza Carthy.
The union's got a palm reading.
We've a couple of anecdotes gone awry.
The union's play to possibly the drinkest audience yet.
And our Polish friend's brassy cover you. Excellent, everyone. Welcome to the 12th. Okay, there's some things you hear about. You know, you know, there's some sort of amazing albums that are recorded, and you hear that they've agonised over it for take after take. And like Brian Wilson, it took him years to get around to recording "Smile," and it was littered with depression and all sorts of things before he finally got it out. But then there are other albums, sublime studio recordings that are done in one take. That, ladies and gentlemen, that was our first take, believe it or not. That was our first take, and listen how it sounded.
Maybe a reason why we shouldn't use it.
I think we should use it. I think that was absolutely perfect, and everyone knows what's coming up on the podcast, so we can just get on with it. Okay, so James Fagan's Talking Bollocks, the idea behind it. Well, actually, we're going to explain the idea behind it, but a very quick synopsis. James Fagan, excellent award-winning folk singer, sings, of course, with Nancy Kerr and the Melrose Quartet. But also, as well as being a renowned folk singer, is a qualified medical doctor, which brings us on to this new item to the Young Uns podcast. We've only done two of these so far, but they'll be back in the new year, you'll be pleased to hear. We don't want to protest on our hands, do we? James Fagan's Talking Bollocks.
We kind of briefly on the podcast explained what this is about, but I think it came about basically, James, when we were having a conversation last time when you were on the podcast about the fact that you were a medical doctor. And that you had an immense sort of maze, I suppose, of just facts sort of clogging up your head related to when you were studying to be a medical doctor. Just random Latin words, different terminologies, interesting
Indeed.
Medical facts, that kind
a
of
head
thing.
Full of bollocks, you might say.
Exactly, which is quite an apt phrase to use, because it then came on to the fact that I said to you, I think in the pub once, let's have a medical fact then, James.
Excellent.
Sort of an interesting medical fact. And then you told me a fact about the testicles.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the kind of fact we could do a feature on the podcast, James, where on a semi-regular basis you come on and disperse a medical fact. And
okay.
But at first you said, do you want a medical fact, David, or do you just want a fact about the testicles? And I said, well, I don't know how many facts about the testicles you've got, James. And you said, David, I could talk to you about testicles all day, mate. So with that in mind, you've risen to the challenge. It's time for our feature, James Fagan Talks Bollocks, where on a semi-regular basis, you will regale the podcast listenership with a fact about the testicles. So, James, talk bollocks to me, my friends. What is your first bollocks-related fact?
Well, I think my first bollocks-related fact is probably my favourite, which is that the man who invented the procedure, the vasectomy, performed the first vasectomy on himself.
Nice.
Now, I just think that is mind-boggling. Needless to say, it was under local anaesthetic because general anaesthetic wouldn't really work in that context, shall we say. Put yourself to sleep, then try cutting your scrotal sac open and, you know, it's just a disaster. Local anaesthetic, at least you still retain basic functions, which you'd need, I think, to slice open your own scrotum. May I just say, on the subject of that, I think the scrotum is an awfully named organ. I think for something that is, you know, so hidden away generally, and I think that's probably a good thing, I think that it could have a better name, just so that when it does make its appearance, it's not so vilified. Am I the only person who thinks this?
Well, what would you... Have you got a name that you would rather use, James, maybe?
Just maybe velvet pouch or something. Velvet just something pouch. A bit more romantic.
Okay, well, maybe we could put that to the listeners. They could their alternative names for scrotums, and then you could be the adjudicator there, James. And,
I would love to judge that competition.
Excellent.
Although, may I stress that that is only in a kind of a sense of judging words.
Yes, yeah. This is not an invitation now for people to get their scrotums, to take photos of scrotums and send
not
it to James Vega.
I think that would take the Young'uns podcast into a territory which even at cutting edge as it is, could end in tears. So let's just keep it in a kind of a literary form. But I would happily judge that competition because I for one, it's not that I'm uncomfortable either with the part itself or generally nomenclature, but I do think scrotum is unfortunate.
What happens to the man then who tried to do this vasectomy?
Well, he succeeded. I mean, he didn't try to do it. He knew what he was doing. He knew right. that the vas deferens was the
it's not
the
something you just fiddle around with, is it, really? You've got to be pretty sure before you start, actually. I think I'll just give this a whirl. I've got a Sunday free. Why not?
To be honest, I'd rather cut the red wire on a bomb than cut my own vas deferens without even knowing which wire to cut on a bomb. I mean, it's some serious territory you're talking about.
Yeah.
This guy obviously knew his anatomy well, and he must have been pretty calm under pressure to go into the area and decide that the particular tube that he was cutting wasn't either the artery, any of the crucial nerves.
Oh, this is
quite. Think it's pretty amazing, isn't it? Really,
it was sort of meant to be a light feature, but I'm doubled over in agony here.
A light feature interviewing a doctor about the testicular area. You want a light feature on the testicles? Talk to a comedian.
James Fagan's Talking Bollocks back for 2015 on the next run, or weekly run of Young'uns podcasts coming soon later this month, but we're going to hear more about Mr. James Fagan right now because it is the return of Folk in Focus.
Hello and welcome to Folk in Focus with me, Melodian.
And me, Penny Whistle.
This week on Folk in Focus, James Fagan provides food for thought. Yes, the award-winning folk performer James Fagan took to Facebook recently to express his love for Greek salad. We've got more on this story now as we cross to Folk in Focus's food and drink correspondent, John Dunning. Thank you very much indeed, Mel. Yes, a recent Facebook status posted by the award-winning multi-instrumentalist and folk singer James Fagan declares his enthusiasm for Greek salad. The 42-year-old Australian posted the status after enjoying the dish for his lunch, writing, "I just ate a massive bowl of homemade Greek salad. Forget just how awesome it is. Don't worry, I didn't take a photo of it." A joke referring to the trend for people to post photos of their food on Facebook. Listeners to the Young'uns podcast were recently given an insight into Mr. Fagan's food preferences. He revealed that he is also partial to barbecue food.
"I couldn't be better, mate. Just had a barbecue in the back garden. Burn a few sausages and try and impress the missus."
But Mr. Fagan will certainly be aware that you can't live entirely off barbecued food. Being a qualified medical doctor, he will know all about the importance of a healthy, balanced diet. The exact nature and contents of James Fagan's Greek salad is not yet known, but typically a Greek salad comprises a mix of olives, tomatoes, cucumber, pepper, red onion, lettuce, feta, with the addition of red wine vinegar and olive oil. We will, of course, bring you more on this story as and when we get it. John Dunning, Folk in Focus's food and drink correspondent, back to you in the studio. Thank you very much indeed, John. But as ever, we want you to interact with us on Folk in Focus. And we've been asking you for your suggestions of favourite foods for other folk performers. So what foods might other folk performers like? You can tweet us, you can text us, you can email us, you can phone us, fax us, Facebook us, Bebo us, MySpace us, MSN message us, Skype us, Google Talk us, Teletext us, YouTubers, RedTubers, Audio Boomers, or locate one of our yoghurt pots that we have situated across the country. Simply pull the string nice and tight and just shout your message into the yoghurt pot, where one of our researchers will be keenly waiting at the other end to hear what you have to say. But of course, here on Folk in Focus, we make it our mission to make sure that everyone and anyone has the ability to interact with the programme. We're fully inclusive, which is why we're pleased to announce that we are now accepting drum telegraphy. If we have any listeners from the Tangu tribe of New Guinea, we now have a pool of researchers dedicated to interpreting your drum messages, so feel free to beat away. We apologize apologise to any other ancient African and American tribal listeners who would like to communicate using drum telegraphy, but rest assured that we are working on integrating other forms of drum communication in the near future. Now, Penny's been analysing the social network platforms. What have you got for us, Penny?
Well, on Twitter, it's hashtag folk food all the way. Billy67 suggests that James Fagan's musical and marital partner, Nancy Kerr, would be rather fond of a custard cream. Terence on Facebook says scone Bowden. Presumably that would come with jam Sweeney. Nigel in Swansea says, I too am very partial to a Greek salad. Guess that's another thing that I've got in common with James Fagan. I'm also Australian, you see. Spooky. Although, I must admit, I can't sing.
Would it be interesting to find out just how many of our listeners like Greek salad and how many don't like Greek salad? Just how popular is Greek salad among the Folk in Focus listenership? So come on, people, let's hear from you. Are you in the yes camp or the no camp when it comes to Greek salad? Salad. Continue, Penny.
Thank you very much indeed, Mel. Chicken Korma Waterson, says Jenny. Brian, via a yoghurt pot in Dundee, said porridge, presumably for Jackie Oates. And that's what we've got for now, Mel.
Well, you say that's all for now, Penny, but I've actually found a message on Bebo that you've somehow missed, which is a bit of a shame, really, Penny, to be honest, because I think it's actually quite good. In fact, I wouldn't even go so far as to say better than some of the ones that you've actually chose, Penny. It's from Sarah in Oxford, and it says, I imagine that Nancy Kerr, Faye Heald, Seth Lakeman and Martin Simpson would all be partial to a full English. A joke there by the fact that all those folk artists took part in the recent full English project, Penny. So it's a shame you missed that, really, but a good job that I'm here. Then again, I suppose you did only get a third in your journalism degree, didn't you, Penny? Whereas I got a 2-2. And I think we've just seen the difference between a 2-2 and a third right there, Penny. But never mind, you'll probably still get promoted before I do, Penny, because you are, of course, a woman.
Well, I think...
Thank you very much indeed, Penny. And before we go, there's just time for the results of our poll. We asked you whether you liked or disliked Greek salad. Well, the results are in. Let's cross now to Folk in Focus's data aggregator and analyst, John Dunning. Thank you very much indeed, Mel. And yes, the results are in. I will now represent the data that we've gathered using frequency modulation. This is a 440 Hz sine wave tone. Now, if the frequency modulates downwards, then that will represent a negative result for Greek salad. And the lower the frequency modulates, the less people's enthusiasm for Greek salad, and vice versa. The higher the sound, the greater the yes vote for Greek salad. Now, before we get the result, it is perhaps worth noting that our research carried out by the Folk in Focus Equality and Diversity Monitoring Department indicates that 67% of our people who interact with us on these kinds of polls identify themselves as white British. 48% are male and 7% are homosexual or bisexual. That's quite interesting. It may be worth keeping that in mind as we hear the results today. So there you go. As you can hear, the frequency has modulated up almost an octave there to 870 Hertz, meaning quite a positive reading for Greek salad. And with that revelation, it's back to you in the studio. Thank you very much indeed, John. Do you like Greek salad, Penny?
Yes, I do.
Excellent contribution. Thank you very much indeed, Penny. I was hoping for a little bit more from you there, Penny, to be honest. Let me show you how it's done, Penny. Ask me if I like Greek salad, Penny.
Do you like Greek salad, Mel?
Yes, very much indeed, Penny. In fact, when I make a Greek salad, I like to squirt a little bit of lemon over the top. I find it adds an extra zestiness and freshness that really sets the salad off. See what I did there, Penny? I provided some extra information on top of simply saying yes, and I delivered that information in a fun, light and easy to digest form. All I can say is it's a good job you're a woman, Penny, with reasonably large knockers. Thank you very much indeed for all your communications, and thank you very much indeed for listening. From me, Melodian.
And me, Penny Whistle.
It's thank you very much indeed and goodbye.
Thank you very much indeed and goodbye.
I have to say, I think that Penny has got quite an odd voice for a woman, hasn't she? But I don't know, she's a bit sort of judgmental. Maybe she's got a sore throat or something. We'll see how she sounds next time round on the podcast.
Folk in Focus returning in 2015 with more fork bombshells to drop. It's now time to find out why I have a little bit of a bone to pick, a little bit of an axe, a bone to pick, did I say? A bone to pick, an axe to grind with Eliza Carthy as we head to Cheltenham Folk Festival.
Who's the goon?
Yes, yes.
No, Mr. Yes, Mr. Gurney. Yes. There's a little problem here with one of our artists tonight.
All right.
I don't know why we have problems. I think we all get on very well, I think it's safe to say. Well, I think we're all kind of one big family, I think it's safe to say, almost in the folk world. We all kind of get on really well. Well, that's what I thought. There's a little problem I have with Eliza Carthy, Michael. I'd like to tell you about. And I'm just going to keep this between us here tonight.
It was between us and 400 other people.
Yes, yeah. I'm sure that'll be absolutely fine. But the problem is, you see, we've been out with Eliza Carthy, haven't we? We've talked to her, you know, in passing. We've been out for a meal, meals with her and things like that. We've worked on projects with her. I'd like to consider her a sort of a friend, in inverted commas. I'm not saying a best friend, but I'd like to think of a friend. So imagine my horror, Mr. Hughes, when I get told from Mr. Cooney, he says, I've requested Eliza Carthy to be my friend on Facebook. And she has not obliged. She's had really nice. So anyway, it gets worse because then I say, oh, well, don't worry, Sean, I shall... Because Michael wasn't on Facebook at this point. Michael's not on Facebook. So I said, don't worry, I'll see what she does to them then. So I sent her a little message and a friend request. And sure enough, 8 months has gone by, no friend acceptance from Eliza Carthy. Now imagine my horror when Mr. Hughes, who's been off Facebook for some time, and then what happened was, so Michael went on Facebook and he requested Eliza Carthy to be his friend. And you won't believe it, she accepted within 5 minutes.
Oh, yes.
5 bloody minutes! I'm very annoyed about this. I was looking forward to playing Farmville or Candy Crush Saga with Eliza Carthy. Or maybe she's got her own version of Carthy Crush Saga, you know. But it's not to be. Well, I'm saying this, if Eliza's in the audience, I am not continuing this gig unless you accept me as a friend. I have my phone here. We can be here all night for all I care.
After the gig, Eliza Carthy did accept my friend request. So, victory there. I'd like to say that we've been chatting a lot since then, instant messaging each other and sharing emoticons and poking each other and throwing sheep at each other or whatever else you can do on Facebook, but we haven't, to be honest.
Okay, what's next?
A couple of anecdotes gone awry.
A couple of anecdotes gone awry. I don't really need to say anything about it. This is a couple of anecdotes gone awry. This is what happens when the young'uns do a lot of gigs and we kind of start malfunctioning a little bit. So here is myself and Sean Cooney attempting to tell some anecdotes, but getting it all a little bit wrong or just sort of losing our composure.
We've got to sing a song by one of our big heroes and pals from the North East, Mr. Keslow. In tribute, both David and myself have been very reluctant to take my jumper off tonight. I'm simply wearing the same shirt. And a Keslow type of shirt. Yeah. Last year we did this festival in Germany and we caused a bit of... We got stopped continually at customs, didn't we? Because we were wearing exactly the same shirt. Which was a bit... I'm not saying you're getting stopped at customs in England for wearing the same shirt. I was just... They were a bit suspicious, weren't they?
They were a bit suspicious, yeah. I'm not sure where this anecdote is going, but yes, I will agree that they were a bit suspicious, yeah.
Well, you don't have to be funny all the time. You know,
all right, well, in that case, yes, they were a bit suspicious, everybody. I'm not sure if that's going in the book or not. You'll have to wait to find out. Anyway, we didn't tell that story at our album launch for the 10 years nostalgia trip that we took everyone on Saturday. This is the residue that you're getting from that. The old shirt and customs story there. Remember, after this, we'll talk about the time when Michael ate too many scones once when we went for afternoon tea. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
You did a great Mark Rexford impression.
Did I?
You did. The next song is another song.
The next song is another song. Next one.
Trying to build up the mood there. There's nothing wrong with dramatic pauses.
Is that what it was? A dramatic pause, was it, right?
We actually dedicated
that to Nelson Mandela, the concert we did a couple of days ago, and then we thought, outside his house, people are dancing and celebrating his life, and then there's three of us in England singing a song about dead soldiers. We like to... It's supposed to be a joke, though. We like to say goodnight with are you alright?
Yes. I think you're sort of getting a bit senile here, Mr. Garrison.
No, well, stopping halfway through sentences and
analysing yourself.
That was supposed to be a joke, never mind. Thank you very much, you bastards. Thank you.
We were playing a gig in a pub in Dorset.
I remember it was quite a harrowing gig for me because I was quite ill during this time. And we were travelling down from Teesside to Dorset. And I was asleep for most of the car journey. Anyway, I woke up. I was pretty ill. I woke up and I kind of turned to the other two. And I thought, where the heck are they? And they weren't there. And there was me in a car by myself and the other two weren't there. And I was not too worried at this point, but I thought, I'll just check to see, because maybe they've gone to get some fuel or something. I just thought, I'll just check where I am. At which point, my phone went, doo-doo, and it went, welcome to Dorset. No, I didn't say that. That was a river. It said, welcome to France, it said. And I was like, what? Welcome to France? What the bloody hell? I thought I'd been kidnapped. Amazingly, my phone had got mixed up and got the signals from France to Dorset earlier on. They came back, everything was absolutely fine. I just thought that joke in the worst. It's heck, you only want to say, it's in
summer this year, we performed at Bamfest Folk Festival. We did two gigs. We did one gig in the afternoon and one gig in the evening, and we knew it was going to be an interesting festival when we got there in the afternoon, and we started performing at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and the audience were completely drunk. Like, absolutely completely drunk, just heckling loads and just shouting and absolutely hysterical laughter at everything we said. They were even laughing at things that Michael Hughes was saying, and I mean, you've got to... They must have been drunk. So we thought, if it's like that in the afternoon, goodness knows what it's going to be like in the evening. Well, this is what it was like in the evening. We performed to what I would say one of our drunkest audiences yet. Let's go to Bamfest.
Oh, sure, let's do some. Tell you what, let's do some shanties, shall we? Yeah. Well, this has been... No, I think we should do the three, because you didn't do that last time.
I think this has been described in a recent review as a prog shanty workout. So I don't know whether there are any fans of that subgenre in tonight.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, excellent. Well, this is for you.
Excellent.
I don't really know what to say. I don't say anything, Michael. If I tell you that, I've been wishing you'd learned that lesson for 10 years. And finally, you said, oh, yeah. Listen closer, I'll be quiet. There's a serious act now. Right. There you go. I'm joking, it's all right. I'm joking. They can enjoy themselves if they want to. It doesn't, you know.
Here we go.
No one dies in this song. You can be happy. I wish someone would die. Anyway, come on. Michael, we've been dying on stage for the last 5 minutes, in case you haven't noticed. Just do the best to claw it back. I might have to do me striptease if it goes on any longer. Oh, don't cheer, there's no down there. Man, you'd know, wouldn't you, Michael? It's funny to keep that,
continue this
keep
on.
That, keep that kind of revelation for the book, Michael.
Anyway.
Person closer.
I'll just say, the biggest ovation we've got all night is Davey threatening to take his clothes off. But these two drunkards on the front row going, off, 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 come on, off. Boots and clothes are all in. It wasn't like this on the ships, was it? Boots and clothes are all in. Let me go. I'll tell you what was the worst bit about this. I don't want to tell you this. Oh. Worst bit about that song was, you know where we go, way, and you really open your mouth really loud. Well, a moth flew in me gob. Excellently choreographed. We're working on that one. Weren't we, Sean? So I have actually literally just, well, it wasn't a moth, you know what I mean? It was one of these like little things, but a fly. So I literally just swallowed a moth or a fly or whatever it is in the name of it. Swallow a spider next. That's a fly. Let's go.
I don't know why he swallowed a fly. She'll die.
It's the microphone, sir.
Feel free. Strong. You didn't need to say that the bar had run out, but I think it's self-explanatory. Well, yeah, yeah. We are going to do more, don't worry. We're not just here for aesthetic values.
Before we go, can we just say, as well as the CDs we've got outside, which are at £10 each, and they're our new album.
Yay!
We can also, if you give us an email, just we can let you know about our exciting new venture.
Oh yes, yeah. So we're opening a new theme park at Young'un's World. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we're not really. Yeah.
Can you plug in a guitar that works? What will you use? A workshop. Thank you, boss. Can you sing "That's Only a Moth"?
No, what it is, we've started doing.
Vegetarian moth.
I think you need a drink, my friend.
Well, the front row certainly enjoyed it.
If you have another, it might cancel it out.
So anyway, we've started doing these singing weekends. We've got two of them at the end of November. You go on our website or give us an email address. I'll come and have a chat with us. We'll tell you all about it. You see, what we do, we take over a big youth hostel for a weekend. You get your bed, you get all your meals, and you get a series of workshops, concerts, and loads of laughs as well. So if you want to come and spend a weekend in the woods with us.
Is anybody in Beaver look for spending a weekend with us? A one woman got very enthusiastic when we said, and a bed. It's not just one bed. That's not part of the weekend. Although when we originally put on Facebook, who fancies a weekend in the woods with the young'uns, I think some people came along to see me and a bit disappointed, expecting a doggy weekend, I think. But I tell you what, if the demand's right for it, then, you know, we'll sell our souls. This folk music is just an aside. It's not just moths that make up a soul. Anyway, right. Let's sing a song. Can you just make sure that it doesn't go to YouTube?
Well, it's been emotional, hasn't it, Isabel?
Very.
Very emotional, but all good things must come to an end, including Young'un's podcasts. However, tomorrow, Michael Hughes will be back with a look at the Best Offs. He'll be doing the Best of the Best Offs, the 13th podcast of Christmas. He'll be doing that, but he'll be doing that on a rival channel. he won't be doing it on the Young'un's podcast. But you can find it if you look there on the underground folk network. I'm tired. I'm very tired. We've been doing this for a long time now. We'll be back later on this month with new Young'un's podcasts. Don't worry, Isabel will not be a permanent fixture. We're just doing this. I'm just letting her speak for a Christmas treat. She won't be on there normally. Thank you very much for listening. It's been good. It's been good traversing through the podcasts together. And we'll be back later this month with new Young'un's podcasts. But we're going to end with a beautiful rendition of Sleep by U2, as sang by our Polish friends Brassy. So we'll say goodbye with this. And Isabel, we'll just end by saying something particularly apposite as a closing remark.
I don't even know what apposite means.
There you go, everyone. That's what I have to put up with. Unbelievable. Right. Thank you for listening. We'll be back later this month. Happy New Year. Goodbye.